127. So we're on to Psalm 127. Nice brief psalm, and we're still dealing with the psalms of ascent, the pilgrimage psalms. So the psalmist here is pointing out that all our human efforts are worthless if we are not relying on Yahweh. Very simple psalm, but quite a beautiful one. If Yahweh does not build the house, in vain do its builders labor. If Yahweh does not guard the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. A little comment from Psalm 69. God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. And his servants shall live there and possess it. The children of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall live in it. A promise that God would actually rebuild the Judah. Proverbs, the human mind may devise many plans, but it's the purpose of Yahweh that will be established. I don't know how you might understand that. I would understand it meaning, it's hard to say God has a purpose, a design, a plan. They're all fairly tricky words because they imply a future reference. And there's no future with God. God is simply is. And our present is all that is. And our present keeps moving in the is of God, as it were. So any words, human words that we attribute to God that imply a present and a future are actually philosophically bankrupt. So we've got to be watch some. But obviously, well, I would say, and I shouldn't say obviously, the grace of God has a direction in it now. The grace of God has a point, has a purpose, if you like, or a design. It's drawing us in a certain direction right now. And whatever we might plan, it'll come to naught unless it's in the stream of God's active grace now. So verse 2, in vain you're rising early and going late to rest, eating the bread of you like that, Barbara, don't you? There we are, it's saying the same thing under a different image. What really matters, in other words, is to be in communion with God. And if we are, everything's fine. If we're not, it's all in vain. Deuteronomy reads, of Benjamin he said, the beloved of Yahweh rests in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long. The beloved rests between his shoulders. And 2 Samuel, he named him Jedidiah, meaning beloved of Yahweh, because of Yahweh. Verse 3 and the concluding part of this brief psalm, sons are indeed a heritage from Yahweh, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. There are still cultures in our world, perhaps surprisingly, that see sons as a special blessing. I'm not sure of what I'm going to tell you now, but I've investigated it as far as I can, and I think the reason is a false biology in ancient world. There are differences here, I know, but commonly in all the cultures I'm aware of, it was presumed, just like a tree has seed, and the seed that the tree produces is actually going to be a tree. And it's dropped into the soil, the Mother Earth. And the Mother Earth nurtures this seed so that it sprouts and becomes a little tree like the father-mother tree. So in the male and female, the male semen was called a small semen in Latin means seed. The gamete was called a seed. It's not a seed, but we still call it that. Because the understanding was that that was another human being, that seed, and it was planted in the most beautiful place in the woman who provided the nurturing environment, the Mother Earth, so that that seed from the male would then develop into a human being in all the different stages, beginning in the womb, of course, and working right through till death and beyond. I think that's behind what this is. I'm not sure, but I think that's why sons were seen as very special, because only sons can hand on life. It's not so much a name thing, it's a life thing. And now that we know that's wrong, you'd think we'd all adjust. But it's so hard to get people to adjust their brain religiously. You look at all the religions of the world, including our own, we still seem to be content to live with understandings that were born out of ignorance in times past. And you don't blame them for their ignorance. Look at the trouble Galileo went through, because he dared to suggest that the Earth wasn't the centre of the universe. But everyone thought it was up till then, and that they thought that's the way they read the Bible, as reinforcing that. Of course, it wasn't reinforcing it. It was just expressing what people thought they saw when they looked. And it was talking about God and nature. It's not giving a scientific disquisition. But understandably, I think, not completely understandably, but one wants to be a bit easy on judging the past, people judged that that's what it was. Just as the great saint, heaven knows what heaven's going to be full of, I don't know, Saint Robert Bellarmine was one of the ones that signed the document to get Bruno, or Giordano Bruno, burned. He was the last of them, I think, in 1600 in the Campo del Fiore in Rome, because he was a heretic. So that mentality that even very saintly people had, I actually suspect it, but I can't say more than that, because if you want the truth more than anything, I think you'd look at the evidence, and you wouldn't. I think you'd do that, but then maybe they tried and couldn't do it, I don't know. In any case, I've said a lot about that, but that's the psalm, and I think sons are indeed a heritage. But wouldn't it have been nice if the psalmist had have known the daughters are too, you know? And there are still cultures around who see, don't they? They see the son as quite special, and of course the son isn't special. Everyone's special. So I'm not saying anything against the psalm, except to recognise that all these psalms come out of a limited worldview.